Well, as I started praying about this Sunday several weeks ago, my biggest thought was, what would the Lord have me speak? Because I thought, you know, this is a special day, celebrating 1 year. What would the Lord have me speak after 1 year of launching this church? And today I'm actually going to share a message that I know a few of you in this room, just a small little handful, maybe five or six of you in this room, I think have heard me share this before. But the Lord has taken me back to Acts 16. And as I prayed about this, or as I was praying, the word that the Lord kept saying to me was, follow me. I just kept hearing that, follow me, follow me. And so he brought me to Acts 16. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Acts 16. We're gonna read from that here in just a second. But I actually spoke out of this chapter when I first got to West Salem. When we left Newburg and I started at West Salem and first got there, I spoke out of this scripture. But I felt like the Lord said, this is what Dallas Foursquare Church is about. It's about teaching people to follow Him. Because that's what God desires of all of us, that we learn to follow Him. Many of you have heard me share over the last year, several times I'm sure, of how my wife and I, over the past 3 or 4 years, have been on this journey of really trying to learn and discover what it means to follow Jesus. Because we say that, follow Jesus, but what does it truly mean to follow Jesus? And so we've been on this discovery over the last several years. What does it truly mean to follow Jesus? And this morning I want to share with you a few things that the Lord has been teaching us along this way as we've been walking this journey out in our own lives. I want to look at Acts 16. I want to look at the Apostle Paul here and point out some important lessons that we can learn from this story about following Jesus. And so if you have your Bibles, you can read along with me here in Acts chapter 16. We're going to start in verse 6 and read through verse 10. It's titled, Paul's Vision of the Man of Macedonia. It says here in verse 6, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. At the beginning of this scripture that I read, we see Paul and his companions really seeking to figure out where God was calling them. They were seeking to really follow Jesus. Where would He lead them? And at the end of the scriptures, you see them having a very clear picture, a very clear knowledge of where they were supposed to go. And so out of these scriptures, I want to bring you three things that I really believe we can learn about following Jesus that will help us in this journey of learning to follow Him. The first thing is this. The first thing we have to learn about following Jesus is that we need to keep moving. We need to be moving, okay? Acts 6 says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region, all right? They were moving. You see Paul and his companions going to several places, and the Lord kind of keeps redirecting them, right? Not here, okay? Not here. The Lord just keeps redirecting them. And the key thing here is we need to realize they were moving. They kept moving. When God said, no, not here, they didn't stop. Well, all right, we're just going to sit here until we hear what the Lord says. They didn't do that. They didn't stop. They kept moving. And then the Lord would say no. And as they kept moving, it allowed the Lord to direct them. And I've heard it described in this way. You can't steer a parked car. Okay? Now this is what I mean by that. If you're sitting in a car, you can turn the steering wheel all you want, right? But if the wheels aren't moving, if there isn't movement, the car isn't going to go anywhere, right? I know this when I was a young kid. Okay, when I was 5 years old, my mom and dad had this station wagon, this 1970s Chevy, I think, station wagon. It would sit out there in the driveway, you know, big old boat, long thing. You know, it was one of those cool with the back seat in the back where you face the opposite direction, you know, and that was before the seatbelt laws and all that kind of stuff. But they had this old station wagon, and I remember one of my favorite things was sitting out there in the garage or the driveway as I would get in it. And I would be Mario Andretti, man. I'd be race car driver. I'd be out there, like, you know, cruising around. And I was going all over the place. I was driving everywhere. I was winning the Indy 500. I was all those things. But guess what? The car never left the driveway. Didn't matter how often I turned that steering wheel or where I thought I was going, there was no movement, and the car didn't go anywhere. You see, I like to think of it this way. I like to think of Jesus as our GPS, or the Holy Spirit in that, Jesus through our Holy Spirit, as our GPS. Okay, now I could be corny and say, you know, God's positioning system or something like that. But I like to think of it as our GPS, okay? How many of you have a GPS? Any of you guys have a GPS? When I got a GPS, it changed my world, okay? I love it. I don't get lost anymore. I can go anywhere. I mean, I can downtown Portland. I can go anywhere and get to where I want to go. Now, sometimes it'll take me some roundabout weird ways, but I get there with my GPS, all right? You know, you turn it on, and eventually you'll get to the destination. But here's the thing. You can turn on your GPS. You can even punch in your destination, right? But if you don't move, if you don't go anywhere, it won't say a thing to you. It will just sit there until the battery runs dead, and then it will die. But what happens, as soon as you begin to move, right? Once you begin to move, then it begins to speak to you, and it begins to give you directions. It says things like, move to highlighted route, right? Once you begin to drive. Or it says, turn right at such and such, or turn left at such and such. I do know my right from my left, but I was just doing it for your right and left there. Or it says things like our favorite one, right? Recalculating, right? But the thing is, you won't know that you need to recalculate if you're not moving, if it's not able to read where you're at and guide and direct where you need to go. You see, we need to keep moving. Even if it's baby steps, okay? Many of you have heard over last year my theology, my what about Bob theology, okay? Even baby steps, okay? Because even baby steps, guess what? It's movement. Some of the older generation may remember here, I always think of, you know, what about Bob, maybe some of the younger generation, the older generation, Carol Burnett show, Tim Conway, you know, at least there's movement. It may be slow. It may not get there as fast as I want some, but at least there is movement. Even if it's baby steps, we need to be moving. Why? Because God has called us to go. If you look at the scripture, he has already told us, go, go, go into all the world. Share the gospel. Be light to the whole world. He's told us to go. We know that. And going requires movement. It requires that we move. You see, I believe the disciples, they heard the GPS saying, recalculating. I believe that they heard the GPS say, recalculating. No, not here. No, not here. They heard it say, recalculating, because they were moving, because they were doing what God had told them to do, and they were going. And then the Lord, as we go, the Lord can redirect us. And it's important that we keep moving. And it leads us to the second thing that we can learn from Paul and his companions, is that not only do we need to be moving, but as we move, we need to be then listening for the Lord. We need to be listening. Verses 7 and 8 says this, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. Now, how did they know that's not where they were supposed to go? Was there these magical force fields that showed up and it was like, boom, this time, boom, This time, you know, the bee movie, I'm sorry, I have kids, you know, where the bee keeps running in the wall. You know, was there this? No, I believe it's because they were listening for God's voice. They were listening for His direction. You see, we think we know where we're going. Sometimes we think, oh yeah, I know where we're going. So what do we do? In your car, oh, I know where I'm going. What do? I'm going to turn my GPS off. Only to find out later that we're lost and embarrassed to tell your wife you don't know where you're at now and we should have left the GPS on, right? When we think we know where we're going, we stop listening. If we're not listening, we're not going to hear the Lord say things like, get off at the next exit, or make a left here, or we're not going to hear Him say, recalculating. You're going the wrong way. You're supposed to go back over here. And let me just throw this in here. As I say that word recalculating, I thought it's really cool, you know, on the GPS how it you know, it just says recalculate. It doesn't say, hey, idiot, you missed your turn. Turn around, you bozo. It doesn't say that, right? It just says recalculating. And I think, man, what a perfect picture of how the Lord responds to us. He doesn't say, hey, you idiot, you missed your turn off. He says, recalculating. You missed it. It could have been a little faster this way, but that's all right. We're going to get you there if you just listen to me. Great illustration. I just had to throw that in there. But recalculating. If we're not listening, we don't hear those things, we're going to end up lost. It was about 2.5 years ago. Our pastor's daughter in Newburgh, who was part of our youth group, she was in the championship game in lacrosse. And we wanted to go see her play in this championship game. And I was talking to the pastor and I said, oh, now where's the game at? We want to come see. And he said, oh, it's over in Lake Oswego. And I said, oh, like where in Lake Oswego? He said, well, you know the 205. You get on the 205. I said, yeah. He said, well, you know where Rolling Hills, the church, is off the 205. I was like, oh, yeah, I know where that's at. He goes, it's just up behind there. As a matter of fact, if you kind of just go up behind the church, you'll see signs to the high school, and it's right up there where they're playing. And I thought, oh, cool. So we hop in the car and start heading that way. We had some of our youth staff that were with us, and we were on our way over to this game. And my wife put in the GPS. She looked it up and put it in. And I said, yeah, because, you know, once we get past the church, I'm not sure exactly, and I'd rather not have to look for signs. I'd love it just to tell me where to go. So we turn the GPS on, and we're just driving, and we're talking with the youth staff and having fun. And all of a sudden, we're cruising down 205, and all of a sudden I hear, exit, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what? What? And I'm looking, and it's like, well, hey, why does it tell me to exit right there? The church isn't another 7 miles up. And I kind of look back, and I'm like, oh, that's Rolling Hills Church. See, here's the thing. When he said Rolling Hills Church, I was thinking of New Hope on 205, right? And he was actually talking about Rolling Hills. I misinterpreted what he said. How many times do we misinterpret what the Lord says? Oh, this is where I'm heading. And we begin to go that direction, right? Or we just look up. We have a direction ahead, and we look up and we're like, that looks like a cool place. That must be where God's taking me. I'm going right over there. And we start to head that direction, right? And we stop listening. Now, the cool thing is, I heard the GPS say turn off. And so I'm like, oh, shoot. And so, of course, right away we hit traffic, like right after that exit, boom. And it took us like 5 minutes just to get to the next exit off. And so we're hurrying and we got to the game just as the game was starting. I mean, we actually were walking down the thing and we heard the whistle blow for the game to start. And we got there just in time to see the game. But here's the thing. If I hadn't been listening to the GPS, we would have kept going, got stuck in that traffic, and it wouldn't have been until we were up past New Hope and I'd have been like, wait, that's New Hope, not Rolling Hills. We probably would have missed the entire game had I not heard the GPS tell me to get off. You see, we can't just assume we know where God is leading us, because that's just going to get us into trouble. We need to be listening every day for His voice. Every morning we get up, Lord, I'm going to move. I'm gonna go like You've told me to. Guide me, direct me, allow me to hear Your voice, to see where to go so I don't miss an exit, so I don't miss a turn that I should take. Which then leads me to the final point when He does speak to us. When He does speak to us, we then need to go where He tells us to go. The words I use for my kids, and you've heard me say before, we need to listen and obey. Listen and obey. It's not enough just to hear. We also have to obey and to do what he's told us to do. In verse 10, after Paul had seen the vision, it says, "We got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." They received God's direction, and what'd they do? They got ready immediately. Immediately they went. Immediately they obeyed the Lord and went in the direction that he told them to go. When I was a little kid, I used to play a game. A game that I think most of you are familiar with. Anyone ever played Follow the Leader? Right? Most of us are familiar with a game. If not, it's a very simple game. You pick someone to be the leader, and everyone else follows. And so you follow them in whatever they do. If they jump, you jump, right? If they clap, you clap. Whatever they do, you follow them wherever they go. And it's a great game until the leader you picked starts doing crazy things that you don't want to do, right? He starts maybe climbing on the low part, he starts climbing on top of the play structure. And you're like, whoa, wait a second here, you know. Or he starts jumping off of heights that are a little higher than you want to jump off of. Or, you know, for the girls, it's when the boy starts, you know, stomping in puddles, you know, or rolling in the dirt. And then it's like, I'm not going to do that, you know. You don't want to do those things. And it's at that time when that leader starts doing those crazy things, what happens? It's at that time that we stop. Right? We stop playing. We stop following the leader. Why? Because it's not what we want to do. It's maybe a little crazy, a little too risky for us. Or, you know, our favorite one, well, that's just not my thing, right? We use that. And it's funny because I'm realizing more and more as I'm on this journey of following Jesus that living for him is a lot like the game. It is the game of follow the leader. That we have to be willing to follow him. And here's the thing, we say we're about following Jesus. Yeah, I'm gonna follow Jesus. I'm gonna serve him. But when he leads us to do things that we don't want to do, or when he starts asking us to do things that are maybe a little crazy or a little risky, or when it's not our thing, what happens? We stop playing. We decide to sit on the sideline and just, well, that's okay. I'm gonna just watch you guys do that right now. I'm going to sit on the sidelines and watch. I know there's been times in my life where things have got a little risky for me. I know there have been times in my life where I've probably sat back and watched, quit playing the game. But over the last several years, I've really been challenged to ask myself the question, am I truly willing to follow Jesus? To go wherever he wants me to go, to do whatever he wants me to do. It was about 3 or 4 years ago that I heard a message spoke on the rich young ruler. Some of you may be familiar with the story of the rich young ruler. It's found in Luke chapter 18, but I'm going to paraphrase the story for you this morning. The rich young ruler, he comes to the Lord, and he says, "Lord, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God?" And the Lord, you know, shares some of the commandments, you know, of loving people and the different commandments. And he says, oh, I've done all those things. I obey the law. I follow all those things. I do all the things I'm supposed to do. And the Lord says, well, I have one more thing for you. Sell all your stuff. Give it to the poor. And then come and follow me. And when you read that story, the sad thing is at the end it says, he walked away sad. He walked away sad. He stopped playing the game because it was too much. It was too risky. God was asking too much of him. And it was this scripture that challenged me. Is there anything in my life that I wouldn't give up? Is there anything God would ask me to do that I wouldn't do? So I began to seek the Lord and do my best to offer everything to him, to say, Lord, I'm all in. I want to follow you. I want to do whatever you want me to do. And little did I know as this youth pastor of 15 years in Newburgh, little did I know what he would eventually ask me to give up. It was about a little over 2 years ago that my wife and I went down to the district conference, the Four Square North Pacific District Conference down in Eugene, Oregon. We went to that with all of the staff from our church and went into that conference just excited. Every time we go to these conferences, the Lord just builds us up, encourages us to come back and move forward in our ministry. And so went with that excitement of what God was going to do, what he was going to do in our hearts that weekend or that 3 days that we're there. And the first night of the conference, I walked in and I saw a good buddy of mine, Pastor John Phelan. Some of you know him. He's a good friend of mine and known him for years. And I said, "Hey, John, what's up? How's it going, man? How's Salem?" Knowing he'd been in Salem. And he's like, "Good, you know, good, good." But he's like, before he said to me, he just said, "Good." And he came over to me and he just kind of points. He's like, "When are you going to be a senior pastor?" And I was kind of taken back by this. I'm like, "Whoa, wait a second here," you know. And I'm like, never, you know. I told him, I said, "You know my heart. You know my passion. I'm a youth pastor, man. I'm a youth pastor for life." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, I know. That's what I thought, too." And I said, "Well, I know everyone's different." I said, "But, you know, I really feel this is God's calling on my life." And I began to share, and we talked a little bit. And I just said, "Man, God's doing some amazing things in our youth group. I'm excited, some new stuff and ventures that we're beginning." And I said, "Man, I'm more excited about youth than I've ever been before." And I left the conversation saying, I said, "You know, I know God can change it at any time, but I said, I probably got a good 5-10 years left in me in youth ministry." Yeah. Well, that night, I went back to the hotel with my wife, and I kind of just, because in worship there was, it was stirring in me what he said, and I'm just like, "What in the world is going on, Lord? I'm not going anywhere. I'm a youth pastor." You know, all these thoughts are going through my head. So I just kind of, to my wife, I said, when we got back to the hotel, I said, "John Phelan was asking me when I'm going to be a senior pastor." And she like blurts out, "That's funny, you know." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's what I said to him too. Yeah, that's dumb. That's stupid. Okay, move on." So I went the next day just ready to move on. Okay, Lord, that's nothing. And John Phelan, he'd asked me that for the last couple years. I'd see him at different times, but never quite in that way, the way he pointed at me. But I went to the next day just, okay, I'm going to dive in. I'm going to get refreshed, ready to go back and see what God wants to do in our youth ministry, and was ready for that. And that day, God began to turn my world upside down. A pastor by the name of Dennis Easter got up, and he began to share his story. And the Lord had taken him from one thing into another. And he was speaking out of 1 Samuel 16:1, and it's the story where Samuel is wanting to see God do something through Saul, okay? Saul was anointed king of Israel, but Saul kept messing up and screwing up, and he wasn't becoming the king that he was supposed to be. And Samuel's like saying, you know, basically, "Come on, God, Samuel can be it. Give him another chance." And this is what the Lord says to Samuel in 1 Samuel 16:1. It just says, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king.'" And if you know the story, he goes to anoint David as king. And it's like, give up this idea of Saul because it's not going to happen. And as he shared that and as he was speaking that story, these are the words that Pastor Dennis said to all the pastors. We're talking about probably about 500 pastors here sitting in this conference. And he said this. He says, "If we're going to get on this journey of being kingdom-minded people, some of us may need to lament the loss of your preferred future." Let me say that again. If we're going to get on this journey of being kingdom-minded people, some of us may need to lament the loss of your preferred future. As I sat there, it was like a dagger through my heart. I sat in that room filled with pastors, and tears just began to roll. I didn't think I'd get emotional over this. Tears just began to roll down my cheeks. And I heard the Lord ask, "Darren, what's your preferred future?" And I said, "Lord, you know my heart. I want to be a youth pastor for life." And he clearly spoke these words to me. He said, "Are you willing to lament the loss of your preferred future? Because I'm calling you to be a senior pastor." It was at that point that I had to make a decision. Am I going to continue to follow the leader? Or am I going to stop? Am I going to listen to his voice? Or am I going to walk away sad like the rich young ruler? And I'm guessing that there are maybe some of us in this room that have been faced with a similar question. And maybe you have continued to follow the Lord. Maybe you've listened and you've said, "Okay, Lord, I'm willing to give up what my desire is to follow yours." But maybe some of you in this room have stopped playing because he was asking too much of you. And I think the question that we all need to ask ourselves is, are we truly following Jesus? Are we truly following the path that he has for our lives? And if not, is it one of these things that's holding us back? Have we stopped? Have we stopped moving? Waiting for who knows what? If so, my encouragement to you this morning would be, start moving again, even if it's just baby steps. Regardless of why you've stopped, whether it's hurts, whether it's challenges, whatever it may be, my encouragement is just to start moving again, to start taking those baby steps closer to the Lord, to what he's called you to do. You can't change your past, but you can change your future. And if we begin to move now, God says, "All right, let's forget about the past and let's move forward in this plan that I have for your life." Or maybe you haven't stopped, but maybe you've failed to hear God's direction. And my encouragement to you this morning is to listen, to take time just to be quiet before the Lord and listen and say, "Lord, what is it that you're calling me to do?" And maybe it means just stepping out first, just do something. Start to do something so that then he can maybe redirect you. I know people who have started in one direction only to find out that's not where the Lord was taking them, but it was the fact that they stepped out that then the Lord could use them and move them. And so I encourage you to listen, to take time to listen to the Lord. And I'll say this, maybe if you're listening and you're still not hearing the Lord, maybe he's silent because you failed to respond to the last thing he told you. And I would encourage you to go back and say, "Lord, what is the last thing you told me?" Or maybe you know, and you're like hoping that he's going to tell you to do something else. And the Lord's saying, "No, I've told you what I've called you to do. And if you go back and you do what I've called you to do, then you're going to continue to hear me. You're going to continue to hear where I'm leading you." And I believe the Lord might be speaking to some of us today, saying it's time to lament the loss of your preferred future. And the key in that is, okay, we've been moving and we hear it. Are we going to respond to it? Are we going to obey it? Are we going to step out in faith? For some of us, it just means getting back into the game. Maybe we just said, "Oh, that's too much." But now it's, "All right, Lord, I love you. And I want to get back into this game. I want to do what you've called me to. I want to continue to follow you." The bottom line in all this, regardless of where you're at, regardless of where you are in this journey of learning to follow Jesus, the bottom line is, if we say we're followers of Jesus, we have to be willing to follow Jesus regardless of what he asks of us. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like the rich young ruler. I don't want to walk away sad. I want to experience the joy of the Lord as I continue to push through. And I will tell you this. Never wanted to be a senior pastor. And I am. And I hope you've known as I've walked this journey, it's been the greatest thing in my life. This last year, has it been hard? Yes. It's been one of the most challenging times in ministry. But I've loved it. And I think the reason is because I'm doing what God has called me to do. And there's something powerful, something supernatural that happens when we're walking in the will of the Lord, regardless of how hard or how difficult it may be, we can experience His joy because we're doing what He's called us to do. And I am so thankful that He has, because we love this community, we love the people that He continues to bring to this church, and our desire is to continue to love Him, to love people, and to see His kingdom extended. And I pray that you continue to listen to His voice and allow Him to lead and direct you to follow Him. And that may mean, a few weeks ago we sent off Lydia, you know, a young woman learning to follow Jesus and heading off to Colorado to follow the Lord. It may mean you go places, but that's okay, because that's what happens when we follow Jesus. We listen to Him and we do what He's called us to. And it may be small things. It may not be pack up and go. It may be little things that Lord's just wanting you to be a better husband, to be a better wife, to be a better parent, to be this, to be that, to be a better neighbor in your neighborhood. Whatever it may be, it's listening and following Him. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before You, I'm just overwhelmed. As I look around this room and really realize what You've done in people's lives over this past year. And Lord, we have people, first time here, we have people that have been here just about every week. And Lord, I just love what You're doing in this church and how You're using people in this church to be Your light that shines bright for You. And Lord, the way that we shine bright, the way that we are the brightest is when we're following You, Lord, and Your light is reflecting off of us. Help us to be people, Lord, who walk in Your ways, who are willing to say yes to You, regardless of the cost. Lord, You never said it was going to be easy. You simply said, follow Me. Teach us how to follow You, Lord. Challenge us in following You. Thank You, Lord, for what You're doing in our lives. I pray that even this morning You continue to stir in each of us, Lord, what it is You're calling us to do, Lord. Help us to move. Help us to listen. Help us to be obedient, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just thank You for this day. We thank You for the journey that we're all on. Continue to use us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.